and welcome to My Little Corner of the Internet, the podcast where I talk about my mental health journey, the things that I have learned over the years, and how geek culture plays a part in all of that. This is episode one, the who, what, where, why, when, and how of this podcast. My name is Elizabeth Joy. I live in Michigan and have been wanting to start something like this for a long time, but kind of always put it off because of fear, worry that nobody would listen to it, feeling inadequate about why am I the one who should talk about these kinds of things. And I finally just decided to put all of that aside because my story is important, and I hope that I can impact all of you through sharing it. So, I grew up in a large family. We were all homeschooled, and it was an interesting family dynamic. I'm the youngest of an odd number of kids, so I kind of always felt like my siblings had paired up, and then there was me. Generally, we got along well. However, with the sibling who is just older than me, there was a lot of contention, mostly because I wanted to be included in everything. But a very loving family. It really was, on the surface, a very good childhood. However, what people didn't see was what was going on internally with me. I didn't know it until after college, and I'll get a little bit more into that whole story in a little bit, but I have severe ADHD, dysgraphia, anxiety, depression, and I'm just, in general, hypersensitive, particularly to sensory stimuli. And so growing up in a big family was actually kind of difficult for me because there was a lot of sensory stimuli going on around me, and I would very often get just incredibly overwhelmed without knowing why. And my body's way of responding to all of that stress has been, and still is, just tears. So there's a lot of my parents trying to figure out why I was getting so upset, and obviously not having a diagnosis and being young, I didn't have the vocabulary to express what was happening. And I also didn't know that it wasn't normal. I just assumed that everyone experienced the world the way I did and just dealt with it better. So that was my entire life growing up. It was a lot of feeling like I failed, a lot of just feeling stupid, feeling like a complete failure. And that presented a lot of challenges, especially going into high school. There was just a lot of, high school is a difficult enough time without the added complication of undiagnosed health issues. There was a lot of, I don't really know how to say it, just a lot going on interiorly throughout high school. But I became very good at pretending everything was fine. I came up with a lot of, in hindsight, very poor coping skills. It wasn't until I got to, probably junior, senior year of high school that I realized I have ADHD. But I was homeschooled, so I could deal with it how I needed to deal with it. So I didn't really pursue getting an actual diagnosis. because I just thought, well, I'm dealing with it. And I studied American Sign Language interpreting in college, and it was a 2-year program, and the second year of the program was very intense, very time consuming. There's a lot of outside the classroom work that has to be done. And I was also working in a hospice home. So I was working 1 or 2 overnights a week and also working 30 to 40 or 20 to 30 hours a week, you know, during the days, and trying to do everything I needed to do for school. And it was my first time not living with my parents. And about halfway through the first semester, I went to my doctor and it's like, I'm about to fail out of this program. And I, not because I don't understand the material, but because I can't keep track of all these papers. And so that was my official ADHD diagnosis, came at that point. And my doctor prescribed me Adderall, which helped enough that I didn't realize that being on a good dose and type of medication could actually help so much more. So I just kind of kept going. I finished college. I graduated with a very good GPA. I took my certification test, and then I promptly took a year off because I had gotten severely burnt out. And in the midst of all of that was also when I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety and panic attacks. But I didn't really have the mental capacity to deal with any of these diagnoses because I was just trying to keep going, like I was bare minimum functioning at that point. So I finished school. I had about a year off, moved back in with my parents. And then I started doing freelance work, mostly in educational settings, but other things as well. And I just kind of kept going. Life was life. And I got to a point where I could tell through conversations with my doctor that I wasn't on a high enough dose of stimulant. So when I tried increasing my dose of Adderall that I was taking, I started to get really severe mood swings. So I ended up, again, this was all through conversations with my doctor. If you are considering medication for mental illness, I cannot stress it enough. Have conversations with your doctor. Be completely open and honest. Don't try tweaking your meds without consulting a doctor. I ended up cutting back my dosage and having a cup of coffee, having caffeine every day. Which, again, I didn't realize that things could still be so much better because, you know, going from no stimulant to what I had was such a drastic difference. And I didn't realize that an even more drastic difference was possible. So this just kind of continued on. I got various jobs. Some of them were full-time with the school. Some of them were just subbing. There was a lot of driving, which is an adventure, as always. And it wasn't until just a couple years ago, let's see, probably like a year and a half ago, my sister and I were talking, and she said, oh, my friend does ADHD coaching. You should get in touch with her. And I was like, okay, like, I'm not sure what that is, but sure, I'll get in touch with your friend. And at this point, I had, again, moved out of my parents' house and was working full-time in a school. And was, again, just barely coping with the full-time work. But I was coping. And so I started meeting with an ADHD coach, which was amazing. It was so helpful for me to be able to have someone else say, no, you're not crazy. You know, there's not a character flaw. There's not laziness, you know, just to have someone say, hey, I get it. I was also late diagnosed. You are a good person, and we're going to work to retrain all of these negative thought patterns. So, excuse me. So that was a huge turning point in my life, especially because she would make me write things down, which for me is one of those things where it's like, yes, I know it will help, but I don't want to do it for whatever reason. But my coach wouldn't let me make excuses. She was always just like, no, you need to do this and you need to be writing it down every day, which was really helpful for me. The other thing that came from the coaching was that there's a doctor in Michigan who specializes in working with patients with ADHD, Dr. Orin Mason. You can find him pretty much everywhere on the internet. He has a pretty incredible story of, you know, his kids were diagnosed with ADHD, and kind of through that process, he was diagnosed, and he left the family practice he was a part of to focus entirely on working with patients with ADHD. And my coach finally convinced me that it would be worthwhile to spend the money to have an appointment with him. And she was absolutely right. You know, I went in and had a test done on the computer, and I was diagnosed with very severe combination type ADHD. And so, you know, we did that, and then I obviously went in to actually see the doctor after the test, and he said, it's pretty obvious this medication that you're on right now isn't working for you, because the point of taking the medication is to have your symptoms be either very mild or gone. And you are still exhibiting very severe symptoms. So we're going to figure out a different medication regimen that'll work for you. And I will never forget, I went from taking Adderall to Concerta, which is a Ritalin type stimulant. And I will never forget the first day I was on that new medication. I had one specific thing I wanted to buy in a craft store. And before I left the house, I looked online to see if there were any coupons, which I printed and put in my wallet and remembered to use, and I walked out of the craft store with just that one item, which is kind of a miracle that never would have happened previous to being on actually the proper dosage of medication. And it changed a lot in my family dynamic as well, both through the coaching and through having a doctor who specializes in ADHD. I was able to learn a lot more about what's actually happening in my brain. I learned that those times when I would freeze up and just start bawling were actually amygdala overloads, and how to deal with them and why they would happen. And it just was a really positive change. It's not like, oh, ever since then my life has been great and everything has been fine, because that's not reality. It was a lot of trial by error. It was a lot of, definitely a lot of just making mistakes. A lot of rough conversations with family members, but rough in the sense that, yeah, they were hard to talk about, but they ended up actually being really positive and really good in the long term. And there was a lot of learning how to retrain my thoughts, which is never easy, but is always absolutely worth it. And so since then, I have been able to switch jobs. I'm no longer working in schools. I work for a company where I am just in an office. We interpret phone calls, which I could go on and on for ages about how incredible this job is for someone with my presentation of ADHD, but I won't. But it is absolutely fantastic. And I have a boss and coworkers who are incredibly supportive and wonderful. And I get to have a fidget toy at my desk, or three. And I get to have a bunch of tabs open on my computer. And my boss is aware of it and knows that it actually knows and understands that it actually does help me to do the job better when I have all these seeming distractions. So, let's see. That was all just kind of introduction. I guess now getting to kind of the heart of this introductory episode. In the past couple of years, have jumped headfirst into the kind of geeky community, primarily through Geek and Sundry, which is a YouTube and Twitch channel. I was first introduced to role-playing games as a whole about a year and a half ago, when Dale Kingsmill of the Monarch's Factory YouTube channel posted a Dumb Ways to Die parody based on the character deaths from Critical Role. And for those of you who don't know, Critical Role is, and I quote, a bunch of nerdy-ass voice actors sitting around playing Dungeons & Dragons. And it's incredible storytelling, and I saw this video from Dale and I was like, I have no idea what this is, but it is now stuck in my head and I want to know what this is about. So I Googled Critical Role and proceeded to binge watch all 80 episodes, I think they were at that point. So, and then have been watching ever since. And through that, I got involved in role-playing games myself, both playing and GMing, and it became this really fabulous place for me to utilize creativity and my love of storytelling and my love of languages in a different and really actually very unique way. And I quickly realized my favorite part of RPGs is character creation. This is my topic for the next episode, so I won't go too much into it now, but being able to create these characters and really delve into their stories and like what makes them who they are and, you know, what experiences have shaped them in these particular ways was really very cathartic for me. And, you know, through Critical Role, I found the Geek and Sundry Twitch, and I found Shield of Tomorrow, which is a Star Trek RPG, and I found the Eric's TBD RPG, which was Doctor Who, and I found Weave Society, and I kind of somehow through all of that found the Saving Throw Show Twitch channel, which led to a whole other amazing set of RPGs and a whole another amazing community of people, because through all of these Twitch channels, I also was finding the Discord channels that go with them and connecting with the community. And, I also, through Geek and Sundry, I found Amy Dallin's Twitch channel, and through that, at one point, one of her streams raided Random Tuesday's channel, and so I found that community, and, I'm part of Amy's community, and, just all these connections kind of started happening, and really all of them are a really wonderful place to find people to talk to and, to find things that, maybe my IRL friends maybe don't have such a strong connection or such a strong understanding of something that I'm going through. But then I have all of these communities online where, sometimes it's easier to talk about something if you know it's at least semi-anonymous. I just am incredibly grateful for all of this understanding and fun and wonderful group of people that I have encountered through all of this. And really, I can't stress enough how much of an impact it has been on me in terms of my mental health journey, because there are people who will offer hugs for the hug inclined if I am feeling down in the dumps, who will encourage me to be a good organism and make sure I eat and drink enough. There are people who will celebrate my creativity with me. There are people who encourage me when I'm in a creative slump. It's just been a really amazing set of things that has brought me to this point of now recording this podcast for everyone. So that's my introduction. I do have a couple of people that I want to thank who had a really big influence on me getting to the point where I actually decided to take the steps to make this a thing instead of just an idea. And these are all people who I've connected with on social media through RPGs and geek culture, I guess is the best way to put it. So the first person I would like to thank is Sam Delev. You can find them at Tchaikovsky. It's Chaikovski. I hope I spelled that right, Sam. They are on Shield of Tomorrow, as well as very frequently showing up on Tempting Fate, which is on the Saving Throw show, and very often in chat for a lot of other streams. And the thing that I want to thank Sam for is just how completely unapologetically themselves that they are. There's no pretense of being anything other than what they are. And they always strive to use their differences to spark conversations about diversity, which is something that I feel very strongly about as well. And so just kind of having or seeing someone doing that so unapologetically is really inspiring to me. I also want to thank both Amy Dallin and Eric Campbell, who also, Eric was the GM for Shield of Tomorrow, and Amy was also on that. as well as Sam, Amy, and Eric all were a part of the Doctor Who RPG as well. And there were various points in time where during the Shield of Tomorrow episodes where one or the other of them would just mention the fact that they have ADHD. And it there was no sort of apology or like it the way both of them said, you know, having ADD or, you know, whatever the case may be, it was very, no big deal. It is what it is. And it's just a fact of my life, and I live with it, even when it makes me go off on a random tangent while I'm GMing an episode of something live for thousands of people to see. And that, again, also had a really big impact on me, especially as I, at that point, was starting to jump into GMing myself, and I was really nervous about it because I know I tend to ramble. And so seeing Eric just be like, I just rambled for 10 minutes. I have ADD. Let's get back on topic and keep going. Was a really big influence to me as well. And the last person I want to thank is B. Dave Walters, who really, without his encouragement, I probably wouldn't be doing this right now. I had just listened to the Geek and Sundry panel from San Diego Comic-Con, which he was on, and he, I don't remember the exact wording, but he said something to the effect of, don't wait for the opportunity to do what you want. You need to make the opportunity happen, or something like that. And I, after I heard that, I was like, you know, he's right. Like, I shouldn't just wait. So I sent him a message on Twitter, and I was like, I just wanted to let you know what you said on that panel had a really big impact on me. And I'm now looking much more seriously at the possibility of moving to Los Angeles to start creating full time. And I was amazed when he sent me a message back. You know, I was expecting, like, oh, thank you so much, you know, I'm glad I could inspire you type of message. But what I got was, well, I now live in Los Angeles and I'm creating full-time, so I know it can happen. What are you looking to do? And so I was kind of explaining to him a lot of what I just explained in this episode, but looking at wanting to use my love of all things geeky to spark conversations specifically about neurodiversity, and, you know, how important I believe those conversations are. And he said, well, I happen to have interviewed a Dr. Janina Scarlett on my show on Geek and Sundry, so here's that. And then he also pointed me to Clinical Role, which is a group of, which is a group of mental health professionals who play Dungeons and Dragons twice a month and podcast it. And I realized, there's other people out there who feel the same way as I do. Dr. Scarlett is the developer of Superhero Therapy. You can find her website, superherotherapy.com, I believe. Also, you can just Google Superhero Therapy because I don't trust my memory right now and I don't have it written down in front of me. But which is a method that she uses with her clients as a counselor. She primarily works with individuals with PTSD, but incorporates pop culture into her treatment plans, which is actually something my therapist did with me, and I found it very helpful. And I just through all of that, I realized I don't have to start this on my own. You know, there's places that I can plug in. And that was very exciting. And the other thing that Media Walters said to me was, you don't have to wait to move to Los Angeles. You can start doing it right now. So I decided to take him up on that. And so I'm doing this podcast now. I am going to be putting these out twice a month, so the first and third Saturdays of the month. However, please be understanding, I do have ADHD, so I will try my best to put these out on the first and third Saturdays of the month. I also am going to set up both an email and a Twitter account just for you to be able to get in touch with me. I am realizing now I should have done that before I recorded all this. Meh, but it'll work. I'm hoping it'll be something along the lines of My Little Corner of the Internet, but we'll see if that's already been taken on Twitter. In any case, I will either just put out a really short little podcast when I figure that out, or I will just let you know next episode what the Twitter actually is. So, yeah, I think that's all. I'm just trying to make sure I covered everything, covered all the logistics. The next episode will be, like I said, will be kind of delving more into why and how getting involved in role-playing games helped me on my mental health journey. And I have a couple of other episode ideas, but I definitely also will be doing Q&As. So if you have any questions about me, about my journey, about any sort of things like that, about anything I talked about, any of my diagnoses, please, once I get the Twitter handle out, please let me know. I, again, am wanting to use this as a jumping off platform. The point of this podcast is to spark conversations and to encourage all of us to see people complexly and, not jump to conclusions about people based on surface facts. So, I am going to stop rambling now. I didn't come up with a way to end these. I hope you enjoyed spending a little bit of time in my corner of the internet, and I will see you next time.